This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Monday at 5, it's my favorite time of the week. And you know why. Peter, you know why.
It's Steve Young time.
Steve Young time. That's what we call it. SYT, Steve Young time. The Steve Young Report is brought to you by F.W. Webb and Weil McLean, Bigelow Tea, and the Pepe Auto Group. The great Steve Young joins us now, Hall of Famer. He's got that ugly mustard jacket, and he earned it, and he joins us now. Hello, Steve.
Michael, how are you guys?
You ever wear the jacket around the house to impress your wife?
No, I do not. She would not be impressed. She doesn't. Football is not a high priority in our home right now. I mean, that's one of the things that interested me in her was that she didn't love football. So football's not on. If I'm watching football on Sundays, it's on my phone, in the back corner, because no one in my home, it's not a football house. So
the mustard jackets,
she would have said, look, that's just an ugly color. Get that off.
See, I wonder about that because my wife is not a sports fan, and that's how I earn my living. And you obviously earn your living with sports, and she just doesn't care, right?
Right, exactly.
Beautiful.
She's not against it. In fact, if she knows somebody that's playing it, somehow she's met through our travels and so forth, then she's fanatic. Oh, right. I love that. Oh, that team, they got, that's the one she gets interested. Other than that, the idea of, she always jokes that when she was a cheerleader when she was in high school, she's like, first and 10, do it again. When I finally told her what that was, she goes, Oh, that's first and 10. Okay, got it.
All right, let's talk about that giant win yesterday. I mean, all three of us on the show, absolutely blown away and impressed. We thought that, they put up a representative showing, but we didn't think that they were going to win with a backup quarterback. Did that blow you away?
Yeah, no one thought they could go across the country and do that. But we have talked about the substantive nature of the Giants from this new coach. We saw it from the very beginning of the season. You could see that there was a plan. They were going to be a tough out generally. They were going to get better and better. They were just offensive. It's a classic to me. The Giants have been struggling in their own identity for a while. The Giants were always the most substantive offensive and defensive organization, as far as offensive line, defensive lines, built from within, stability around management, stability about coach and general manager and ownership. That's the Giants. And it feels like this move, for the first time in a few, that they've got that feeling back. Like, we're building from within. We're going to be very stable. We're going to build on the field, offensive, defensive line, and work outward. We're going to play solid, smart football. We might not have the best talent, might not have the best, but we're going to, that's who they, it seems like that's what was obvious early in the season, and now you're seeing the kind of fruits of it. Like, I don't want to overstate it, but it just feels good. It feels Giants-like, and it feels like, off of this trajectory, get the right players, this is the kind of substance that makes the Giants who they used to be, which is, to me, so much about the NFL. There's very few teams that have a culture or history that they can call on. Who are the Giants? Well, the Giants are offensive line, defensive line, dominant, very stable. That's who the Giants are. The more they are of that, the more we all go, yes. Mm-hmm. And it resonates to the locker room. It resonates to the fan base. It resonates to everybody. And I don't want to – again, I get excited because I love teams like the Giants. I counted on teams like the Giants in the NFL history because it makes the league better. We need the Giants back, and it feels like maybe we're starting to see the signs of that happening.
See, I wonder if this exists in all sports because I think it does. From a fan's perspective, we look at it and go, draft the great player, sign the great player, trade for the great player. But how much of it is get a player and develop him into greatness? And is that what's happening right now with this Giants defense?
Yeah, but that's Don, wouldn't that be great if you had the teachers, the tutors, the tutoring that could actually do that? There are so many still. It used to be a lot. Most were not good at developing players. They didn't have the capacity. Still, not nearly as many really great developmental places to play in the NFL. And so, yes, yes, you should be able to draft and develop, and that should be how you do it. But that doesn't mean it happens. That is not a commodity. That's not as rare as a great, franchise quarterback, but it's still pretty rare. It's like as rare as a great offensive, mind or a great head coach. Like, the league constantly looking for great head coaches, innovative minds, and there's just not that many around. And so there's not that many places where they are capable of developing. So if the Giants can, again, you made a great point, Don, that's another thing the Giants were always great at, is developing players. And if they're back to doing that, then that makes me even more happy that this is who the Giants always have been, and now we're getting back to it.
All right, so you've been around the game forever. Can you give me a reason?
Great.
A long, 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 long,
a long, long time. Can you give me a reason why
my grandfather loved you? I love that when I get stopped in the street. My grandpa loved you. I'm like, oh my god.
Can you give me a reason in all those years of being around the game why Greg Williams would do what he did? Is there something that we're missing that he would make that defensive call?
Well, I don't know Greg. I know his personality. I know a lot of people that are very good friends with him, so he kind of feel like one degree of separation. Mm-hmm. He's always been the risk taker, and he's a counterintuitive to, you know, he's a kind of guy that's going to go zero against, you know, that situation. Like if you say, who's a more established defensive coordinator that's going to do that? He would be the one.
But he hadn't done it prior to that.
I know, but if someone was going to do it,
right?
That's my point. If someone's going to do it,
it would be him.
Greg Williams. Right, right. And so he did it, figuring, you know what, let's just end this right here. Let's put him on his back, have him pop one up and out of nowhere. The ball doesn't even get 10 yards down the field and be done with this thing. It's a nice thought, but all of a sudden you miss on him, and now you're one-on-one down the field, you know, a 50-50 ball that's not – you know, that's even a double move is now like a gimme, then you look really dumb.
Yeah. But then he got fired.
That's got to be ego, though, right? Like, you got to have your stamp on.
Yeah, that's why it's Greg. Greg's got he's got the image of a guy that's got that ego to do that. So, but, I mean, honestly, what's the context for the firing in December of a lost season with an experienced coach that's been around a long time? I mean, like that to me is more personal than it is strategic for the team. There must be something going on that we don't know about that created that problem.
Doesn't it send a message that we're not tanking, that we didn't do that on purpose? I never thought they did, but the fan base certainly murmured about it. Well, they're trying to get Trevor Lawrence, so this sends a message to the fans: we didn't do that on purpose.
Well, that's good. That's a good message. I like that message. I've been misunderstood for a couple of years talking about the Dolphins tanking. What my point was, tanking in football can be, it's like basketball, no one's going to get hurt. Baseball, no one's going to get hurt. But in football, you can get hurt. And so my point was, and the Dolphins at the time, was management needs to be really clear with the coaching staff and players who are in the locker room taking the risks, that if you are kind of tanking with quotations, that you're clear to them so that they can protect themselves in a more, you know, just holistically can come together and go, look, we're going to be stripping some players. We're not going to be as talented. But we have a plan. Like, you have to be extra communicative because you put people at risk in the locker room, if that makes sense. And so I'm not against, like, if people want to lose, that's their own way. But in football, I just think you've got to convince the locker room that we're going to win. We are going to go try to not only win, but protect each other, because winning football is protective football. You don't get hurt nearly as much when you're going to win as when you're tanking. And so I think that what you just said, the message to the team is important. So if that's the message, then good. I like that message, but it's still, I mean, at this point, if that is not known and people feel like you might be putting people at risk, then it does make sense to me.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers got himself back in the MVP race yesterday with Patrick Mahomes, or is it still?
Yeah, because Russell fell away from the MVP race now, and really it's just Patrick Mahomes and him, because Drew's hurt, Tom's not come on. So, I mean, I guess you, and then, a couple running backs, they're not having extended. So, yeah. I mean, and the truth is, we know that without Aaron Rodgers, what are the Packers? And this has been true for most of his career, by the way.
Yep.
The one year that it's kind of like Drew Brees. Both he and Aaron are very similar in that the teams that go to the Super Bowl, when they finally give them a defense, when they finally give them a defense that turns the ball. Remember, Drew Brees went when they led the league in turnovers, the defense did. And so that's all of a sudden Drew's in the Super Bowl. Like, you give guys these once in a generation, one, two in a generation kind of players, if you give them a little help, they actually go to the Super Bowl. But the Packers, you know, you just get the feeling this defense is still kind of fraudulent. Well, can they do it in January in the playoffs? You're like, well, only if Aaron's Superman. And the stats are crazy. What is it, 35 touchdowns and 4 interceptions? I mean, these stats are nuts to where they used to be. I mean, I don't even want to say about it. But Aaron Rodgers, even when he's the Superman, which a couple weeks ago, I don't remember who they played, they got beat. He was Superman, they still got beat. The Colts, I think it was the Colts. And, you know, he was a Superman, but they still get beat because he's that good. So, yes, he's definitely in the mix. But I think it's going to still go to Patrick Mahomes again.
Now,
three years starting, he's going to be a 2-time MVP and a MVP of the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
You have the Bills and the 49ers tonight on Monday Night Football. Am I wrong to be unbelievably impressed with the 49ers and Shanahan, what he's done with a team that's been ravaged by injuries at important positions? The fact that they're still in it, I mean, it speaks volumes about what he's doing.
We've talked about the 49ers before, Michael. This is a substantive team in a locker room. This is a group that was put together when they were losing in 17 and 18 that you could tell the personalities, the leadership, that they had built something that when they were really good in 19, that they were really good based on this culture that they built, this substantive fundamental culture that the Giants are trying to build. Like, the Giants are going to be good because of this, what they've done here to set it up. The 49ers did the same thing with Shanahan and John Lynch. They built this. And so now, not only when you're losing and you're growing, then you have it, then all of a sudden it goes away. That doesn't go away. That connective tissue in the locker room, the stuff that holds you, binds you together, does not disappear. And that's what you're seeing today from the 49ers. You're seeing a team decimated, but still held together by this big piece of common culture that they believe in. It makes good average players play better, and below average players play average. Like, everyone plays up, and I think they've done a great job. And you're seeing that's why great organizations, you know, withstand some of this stuff, and they've done it. I really applaud them. And they win. Obviously, the Rams winning hurts a little bit, but, they still have the playoffs in their mind. It's crazy as it is.
Are the Bills close to being an elite team?
Yes. Yeah, they are. I think that elite is, I mean, honestly, you see the Chiefs, you see the Steelers, you thought the Titans, maybe coming the Browns in the AFC. Mm-hmm. NFC Saints head above everybody just as a team, it looks like. You know, the Bills, it's really the Josh Allen question. How quickly can he develop? I think Josh is set up to be a great generational quarterback, but just how fast he does it. You know, Patrick was ahead of him because Patrick landed, settled, ready to go, and Josh has a more common, you know, kind of trajectory, the bell curve. Like, he took a little while. He's a little reckless. He's still kind of reckless, but he's so productive, and I think he's getting it. He's much more settled this year. I think that if he continues that trajectory and that he can continue to kind of settle in as a top-line quarterback, the Bills are going to be around for a long time.
Last thing for me, Steve, speaking of which, is Baker Mayfield making a turn here, or is this just a good moment? What are you seeing from Baker in Cleveland?
Baker's like Jared Goff. I mean, Baker is a play-action quarterback. He needs you got to know that when Baker's really good, there must be a great running game with him. Jared the same way. If they're thriving, there must be a great running back next to him. And so that's what's happening. Nick Chubb's doing that work. They have the threat of the run that's really kind of leads the way for the Browns, and then it opens up everything for Baker Mayfield because off of play action you saw yesterday, I think he was 11 for 12, 107 yards, touchdowns, big throws, all off of play action. That's his game. That's Jared Goff's game, and when they're really humming, you know they got a top 10, top 5 running game next to them, and that's what's happening right now. Wow. That, therefore, it's to me, this is Baker's to lose in some ways because of that fact. If they continue to run the football and they're playing better defense, it really becomes a referendum on Baker's ability to take advantage of those elements that he needs to be great. He has, and I said that about Jared Goff last week when they got beat by the Cardinals. It's like, Jared, they gave you your running game back. They were top 10 in the 18. They're top 10 this year. 19, they weren't. You weren't nearly as good. You got what you wanted. That's why the coach yelled at him. Remember last week? I mean, it was Sean McVay was like, he pointed him out. our quarterback was terrible. And it's true. Everyone just stare at the quarterback because we've given him everything that he needs to be great. Now he needs to be great. And I think Baker, that's the sense that I have for the Browns now. It's going to be a referendum on Baker Mayfield the rest of the way because they've given him everything he needs to be great. Now he needs to go be great.
All right, now this will be the final thing, and this is the type of questions you hate, but it does get inside your mind.
So who's the greatest?
No. So when couples break up, they're always going to judge who had the better life after they broke up. So who's having a better year? Bill Belichick with no talent at 6-6, or Tom Brady kind of struggling to find his way with that offense in Tampa Bay? Who has shown I'm just as good without him?
It was game over a month ago.
Yeah, it was.
Tom was just, it was game over. And classic Belichick's like, hey, sorry, not yet. And so I think it's kind of evened out, and it could be a good finish here just for giggles, just to be able to talk about. But both of them have shown the truth, right? The truth is Bill Belichick's a phenomenal football coach, substantive, can do great stuff. And Tom's a phenomenal organizer of human beings, and you get most out of people, and they're not done yet. Tom's not done with it. But, I mean, what did we learn? They're both great, and they're both getting older.
So they both needed each other.
Yeah, well, look, the idea that we worry about post, what was most important, Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, or Tom Brady? The truth is the three of them did something that's never been done before. Well, which one was most important? Well, that's those stupid questions that they're imponderables. And so why try to go post-career or post, them splitting up? Which one was? Let's go have them prove it in Tampa who was most important. Let's go. No, it's over. The three of them are now separated, and what they did is iconic, and it's over. And the three of them were necessary, and if you didn't have one of them, it doesn't happen. You can claim that it would or couldn't. It doesn't matter. The truth is in the the facts. The three of them had to be apart, and that's what any great kind of iconic franchise in any sport usually has three guys: a coach, a player, one or two players, a coach, and a great owner. And that's what they had.
See, this Peter, did you notice how nice Steve was? Because he was going to say those are the type of dumb questions you ask, but he changed and he pivoted on a dime.
That's, he's polite.
He didn't want to hurt me. That's exactly
especially,
what he did.
Especially after you kind of insulted
but we've
him
had
last
that,
week.
Who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Like these questions, the idea that you don't think Peyton Manning, built off the backs of the generation before him. You don't think that Patrick Mahomes is building up the backs of Tom and Peyton. Like, they better be better. Like, I'm super pissed right now of the things I didn't think of when I was playing that Peyton did or that Tom did, or now what they're doing, what we talk about, this offensive juggernaut that they have right now. It's like, why? What do you mean? It's like stuff that we should have been thinking about back then, but we didn't. And I'm mad about it. Like, why? That's so obvious. Why weren't we thinking these cool plays and cool techniques and cool stuff that these guys are doing later? And, like, all we can say is just tip our cap and honor the fact that life goes on and people get better and better.
All right, who was more important, DeBartolo, Walsh, or Young in Montana?
Well, clearly in that situation, it's a quarterback, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Enjoy the game tonight. Should be a good one.
Okay, it should be a great one. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.